Welcome to the Northeast Screencast.
You're listening to the Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How are you guys?
Awesome.
Fantastic. Awesome.
I'm How great. Are you? I'm wonderful. Good. I'm glad to be back in Minnesota. We're going to be drinking some of the finest beer, and I'm just excited about it.
You guys brought some warm weather back from Florida.
Florida. Yeah, we did.
That was our plan.
It was actually similar weather there.
I think Eric's got some like serious like water or geothermal issues in his front yard because like all of the snow has melted in his front yard and nobody else's. There's got to be like a hot water leak down
his
under
front
there.
Yard has sunk like three times yeah. And the city has to keep bringing in like a load of gravel for it.
Yeah,
we don't know where it's going. We have no idea.
No,
there's
going to
be a sinkhole out in the.
I do know if I drop a pencil on his floor, it tends to roll to the front of his house. So
everything's leaning.
The thing that was so weird is that a couple weeks ago when it first got warm, there was a circular, like a perfect circle in my front yard that all the snow melted.
That's just sewer gases. Don't worry.
Yeah,
about
no
that.
Problem. Yeah. Just don't light any matches
yeah,
in
don't
your front
smoke
yard.
Over yeah. there. Should be fine.
All right, guys. So before we jump into all of our awesome topics of the day, we need to ask you guys to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Northeast Podcast. Also, subscribe on iTunes, on Podbean, on Overcast, on Stitcher, all of the places you get your podcasts. And then we have a fun, exciting beer that we should be enjoying while watching Game of Thrones, which should be out right now, but they're making us wait a really long time.
Damn, that's true, isn't it?
It's really rough for breweries who plan this stuff, you know, 12 months in advance, and they're like, this beer's kind of already going to be going in mm-hmm. production. We already ordered all the shit, and it takes 6 months to get here. And then HBO's like, yeah, fuck every promotion that you ever wanted to do, everyone. You need to wait till 2019, so brew it again.
So, I mean, this is Surly. Surly came out with a canned beer. This was, I think, only available in a mixed 12-pack, which I purchased.
It was.
So
it
you
says
get three
it on
of
there.
These.
Yeah, it says it on the 12-pack. It says only available in these mixed packs.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you want this, I really bravely drank, you know, 9 delicious beers to get at these three.
So that's what you do for this podcast.
Yeah.
Is you sacrifice yourself, life and limb.
I had to drink Hell. I had to drink Furious. It was really rough. I drank Citra. I mean,
really rough. Sorry.
Bad
man.
Beers.
Thank you for your efforts. We appreciate it.
And the product is these three that we now have in glasses. This is 60 Below Rye IPA. IPA. They have it on there twice, which is weird. It's brewed for the North. I don't know. It's got straight up the North, you know, frozen-looking zombie man on it, which I'm thinking is King of the North.
What, the what blue
do
they call eyes.
Him? What are they, what's that
the
dude's
King.
Name? Knight's King, yeah.
It's blue
and,
eyes.
You know, it's a rye IPA. It doesn't always, like, get me going when I hear rye in a beer. But I don't know. What do you guys think? I haven't even tried it yet.
I think it's good.
It tastes like a rye IPA.
Yeah.
I will say that.
It's very rye-y.
If it's one of those categories, like if you're in a beer tasting event and they're like, we got the rye IPA category, I'm going to be like, hard pass.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite style of beer. And I don't know if it has anything to do with that rye, if it's a mental block.
Like, I'll take a rye whiskey. I'm
sure.
Fine on that.
But this, I think this beer tastes good. I do like the IPA characteristics of it. Mm-hmm. But the rye, just, I don't understand it. It gives it this weird texture and bitterness that just doesn't jive with me.
Yeah, I think I agree. I wasn't incredibly excited to try this beer, I'll say. And Surly doesn't make bad beer. I think it's probably exemplary of a rye IPA. It's just not my jam.
Not your
necessarily.
Style. Some and people don't like
I'm
Belgians.
I'm going to enjoy it. I have no problem with it. You know, it's a 6.5% beer, so it's pretty easy to drink. And, you know, if you want to try it, you got to get the whole Mix 12, which pretty economical way to get beer. It's not bad.
Again, if you have to drink this in and amongst Furious, Hell, and Extra Citra, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think, like, it's probably the fourth best beer in the pack, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah. All right, so I guess we're not too jazzed on this, but at the end of the show, we are going to be getting into a big discussion of local craft beer. It's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Inspired by Star Trib's Sudsy 16 matchups.
Second year in a row, also not screencast related, but right. Fun content.
But fun, yeah. That's where we throw it in.
Yeah. So, yeah, Surly 60 Below Rye IPA India Pale Ale. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that. All right, guys. So it's time to move on, and there's only one place to start, and that is with the new trailer dropping from Marvel's Avengers Infinity War Part 1. Wow. What did you guys think, and how excited are you?
This was a great trailer.
So you guys were on mobile, I think at an airport, when this thing kind of dropped. And
we weren't just at any airport. We were at the Miami airport.
Miami-Dade.
And that is a shithole.
And not only the Miami-Dade airport, like the worst terminal of it.
Yeah.
We were in the oldest terminal. Must have been.
We were in like where people would have been waiting for a plane in like 1962.
Did you guys get on Pan Am flight 720? And
is that the flight from Lost?
No, Pan Am's like an old airline.
Okay, okay. I like that we both went to Lost.
Yeah, were you guys on the TWA flights back to?
What was it, like Sun Country?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Not good.
Well, so Barter got to watch it from his MacBook with headphones in. And I will say that this is probably, other than Blade Runner, probably my favorite trailer in the last 2 years.
Sweet.
And like the way they, like cinematically, the way they did it with the music and the timing and the drums. Mm-hmm. And it gets you absolutely hyped for this movie. If you weren't hyped, you have a problem already.
Right.
But we'd just gotten little snippets, little teasers, little clips here and there. They didn't really give you much more. You kind of already know what's happening. You know the deal. You know the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
They blew it out of the water with this for me. Like, just visually stunning. Audio-wise is absolutely stunning. I could not be more excited for this movie. Jimbo, and they timed it because Fandango opened up ticket sales for pre-orders for seats.
Okay, so that was the text.
Yeah.
Like what, when we go on, how
already
we
booked
it.
Our seats.
Yeah, we got the seats. Same seats.
I got
as
my
last
seats
time.
Ready to go.
But you're going Saturday, right?
Going Saturday.
We're going Friday.
We go Friday.
So, which obviously we'll be able to get together that Sunday and do.
I can't
a
believe
podcast.
That you guys take work off so it's many the, times.
When else
movies?
Am I gonna go, Eric?
But dude, I got a vacation, brother. I got it.
Yeah.
It's stacking up.
Have two kids, and you tell me that you're not gonna take work off to go see a movie that you really like.
Absolutely, it's like my favorite 3 days of the year.
True.
And yeah, like it's 3 to 4, maybe 4 movies a year, and it's like a Friday afternoon. So it's like work from home in the morning, go to the movie at noon,
get some lunch,
hit up the
movie.
Yep, perfect. It's a great
couple drinks.
It's a great little afternoon. It's perfect, especially when it's a movie of this caliber. We do it for Star Wars. We do it for major releases.
Yeah.
So what are a couple of the things that you're most excited about from this movie? I would say a few of mine would be, number one, is definitely the new pairings of characters. Mm-hmm. I think people are going crazy about some of those. Star-Lord, what's his name?
Chris Pratt.
No, what's his name in the...
Star-Lord?
Peter something.
Oh,
Peter
Quill.
Quill.
Yeah.
Peter Quill, Star-Lord, from Avenger or from Guardians of the Galaxy, kind of meeting up with Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
A classic little scene there.
He's going to be amazing. They're a match made in heaven.
Also, really, Spider-Man with anybody is going to be hilarious.
Spider-Man with anyone, he's incredible. He's kind
of, that kid is so good.
He's kind of stealing the show in every scene he's in. But Spider-Man looks like he's going to be spending some time with Doctor Strange, which looks like it's going to be some must-watch television.
You know what? Not enough Rhodey said no one ever.
Yeah.
It's like there's some B-side characters that we just don't care about.
But
and
yeah,
they're going to die.
I mean, there's just some, you know, some new pairings in their vast universe that I think are really fun and exciting.
That's what that's the sandbox that they've set up. They've done the work. Everybody's gotten their origin movie, and we know them, and now we get to mash them up. That's what they do. They're going to be like, these three are going to go off in some ridiculous tangent, and it's going to be super entertaining.
Well, not only that, everyone says, like, the kind of the common thread is, I don't know how they're going to wrap all this up with everyone's characters being in this. Like, well, the first one's 2 hours and 36 minutes.
Yeah.
So we got 5 hours of content. I'm pretty sure we're going to get to everyone's story
with
everyone in there, and it'll be fine. Like, we talked about Black Panther and how Eric thought it was a little bit of a short-sighted notion on the side of Marvel Studios to not do a little bit more Thanos related. Here's all the stuff coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you watch Thor, that did a little bit better job.
Oh, that did a lot
of jiving a lot of those storylines that you didn't think were going to work into a little bit more seamless transition into Infinity War, which is why the DVD for Thor came out now,
mm-hmm.
leading up to Infinity War, whereas Black Panther was, I don't want to say standalone, but it was definitely further back in the storyline. Though a lot of the stuff in Infinity War, based on this most recent trailer, is going to take place in Wakanda,
mm-hmm.
which Absolutely. Is very cool.
Which
so
is
that,
cool,
because they had to build that world.
Best part of the movie, I think, was the world that they built there.
Yeah, so
that city was amazing.
Is Vision's going to be like hidden in Wakanda, and then they're going to come for him?
I
and
think
that's
they're
what
gonna,
the
they're
going to
consolidate all of the Power Stones in one stronghold, and just try to defend it. I think that's going to be a big part of it. It is interesting to see a lot of scenes set in New York as well. So, you know, there should be at least two major set pieces, like one battle in New York and one battle for Wakanda.
So here's then the theory. Like, they're going to take there's going to be a mini battle, if you will, in New York,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to escape. And they're going to be like, the only place we can go is Wakanda. And
yeah.
then they're going to, that's going to be, if you want to use a Lord of the Rings reference, that's going to be Helm's Deep, right? This is where
right.
we make our stand.
Yep.
And, you know, or from Star Wars or any of those movies where it's like, here's our backs against the wall and this is where we're going to battle from. Let's do everything we can, right?
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.'s, or, you know, Iron Man's quote was, here's the advantage that
we
have.
What he's coming for.
He's coming for these, right?
Yep.
So we got to use that to our advantage. So it's going to be awesome.
And I think there's, you know, five of these stones. And you got to remember, like, Marvel has really done a masterful job of leading up to this movie. Because in the very first Captain America movie, they introduced the first stone. And that was the Tesseract. It's the Space Stone. And that was stolen by Loki at the end of Thor Ragnarok. So we know where that is. We know that Vision has the Mind Stone. We know that Doctor Strange has the Time Stone. And so...
I think they're gems. Are they gems?
The gems,
mind
stones.
Gems. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I've heard both, but
oh, okay.
Either way. And there's, you know, two, the Soul Stone we've never heard of, and the Power Stone is out there. I think it's like being protected. It was like a Guardians of the Galaxy one.
Yeah, that was with the Collector, right? That was
he
that
has one.
One yeah.
And then that like Nova Corps has one too.
Right.
So there, do you think that at any point in time he'll have all of the stones?
Not in this first movie.
I think possibly at the end of the movie he'll have all five. And
but then,
it'll seem
but then
like
why
wouldn't
he just snap his fingers?
I think he'll
maybe
know.
They'll do something to like twist that up a little bit. Like
I
he'll
think
get
he'll
them
know.
All, but they'll like buy some time. By Cap, you know, putting a spell on him or some shit, like, you know.
I think he'll know by the end. I think he'll gather the ones that are in the on Earth,
mm-hmm.
right? He'll get all of those, and it'll be very dire.
Well, we know he sort of gets the Vision one.
Right.
We saw him pried out of his head.
I think he'll know where the other ones are, and then he'll be leaving to go get it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then that's where we'll pick up with
the I think he'll be
the
missing the
movie.
Thumb Stone.
Okay.
And he'll have the whole, the other, the rest of it.
It's like that pinky stone, dude. Watch out.
They'll all be set, right?
Yeah.
And then he'll have just one to go, and he'll be like, I know where it is.
Because they're not all on Earth, right?
I figured he'd probably, like, get them first.
But we'd want to see that.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
I agree.
We can't just pick up with him and be like, I already got three. I just need these two. So if y'all could get out
but
the way.
But see, I think, like, listen to this. We're sitting here. We're nerding out over where these stones are.
It's cool, man. And it's been every, like, a lot of the big movies
Black
have centered
Panther
around these.
Is one of the biggest movies that they've ever made. One of the biggest movies in recent history,
mm-hmm.
right? Breaking all sorts of records. And they couldn't have just had, in a bonus scene, his ship flying over Wakanda.
Right. I mean, yeah.
I mean, that's my only complaint. It wasn't that he should have been in the movie or that other Avengers even needed to be. It's just, why didn't they show you, like, oh, wow, you thought the stakes were high with Fearmonger, whatever his name was? Killmonger. You thought Killmonger's stakes were high? Oh, yeah, those were, like, that was like spilled milk compared
yeah.
to what's coming here. And
maybe
I just,
that's why they didn't do it.
I think they just didn't do a good enough job with that. That's
yeah.
my only complaint, because I thought... it was great, but it's like, I want to know more about these. Why didn't they give us a clue to where
they
there's...
should have given us more of a clue about the Soul Stone location.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost certainty that it's there. It's never been talked about yet. You know, there's sort of like a cliche about like, you know, soul food and stuff. And, you know, this African nation, they clearly got their powers from some kind of falling space rock that probably had the soul stone in it. It's probably, you know, gave them their powers, grew that plant life, and it's sitting at the bottom of their vibranium well.
All right, guys, so the Ringer did an article of their 10 Avengers most likely to die in the movie. Are you curious to see any of it?
Yeah, I mean, sure, you can run through it. I absolutely think that we'll lose a couple here and many more in the second.
I'll say two things.
True finale, which is coming next summer.
Number one, Black Panther is going to live.
Obviously, oh, for sure.
Because yeah. Just from a financial standpoint, even if they had him dying, they're like, nah, hold on.
Anybody introduced recently,
Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Captain Marvel are all for sure living.
Yeah, right. We might see and Captain Marvel living in this. That could be cool.
Ant-Man's got another movie coming. He ain't going to die.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
That's true. Not in this one. Yeah. Well,
not yet. Yeah, I guess technically right. He could live, but he's going to live through this first movie anyway, even though he's a B-side guy and we you're couldn't right. care less.
Yeah.
All right, I don't understand this because they started out with number 10, not Shuri. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Number 9, Doctor Strange. They think Doctor Strange lives. Number 7.
Wait, this is people that will live?
It's just they're 10 most likely, but the closer to 10, the more likely you are to live.
Okay, they're not going to kill Doctor Strange. Definitely
number 8,
not.
Pepper Potts. Who number gives a fuck? 7, Thor, who looks like he's in a bad situation with his head being grabbed by...
He could absolutely die.
That's a red herring, though.
I don't think he will because he just had the recent movie.
They're showing that as like he might be dead. Nah, not gonna happen.
It's going to be Captain America.
Number 6 they have is Hawkeye. I think Hawkeye is a great person who could die Jeremy Renner seems totally uninterested in making these movies. He has zero superpowers.
And well, would you if they're like, yeah, we only need you for like 15 minutes
yeah.
for this. It's like $100.
And he's like, all right, what am I going to do? And they're like, you're going to shoot some arrows at a few characters that no one knows.
Yeah. Do you have any lines? I mean, you have a couple lines, but you're just kind mostly shooting arrows.
You're just kind of a jerk. And
you mostly say, like, I got this. Leave it to me.
All right. So number 5 they have is Nebula.
Okay.
She seems likely to die to me.
Yeah, sure. I think so. I think that she could. Yeah, I absolutely think
she
could die.
She knows.
It will show how evil Thanos is. I think we're going to get. In the trailer, we did see what I think is a young Gamora holding Thanos' hand.
Young Gamora for sure.
Right. And like that whole story is super tragic. It's super fucked up. You know, Thanos had these two daughters. He pitted them against each other to fight. It's all just fucked up as hell, right? So I would absolutely think that Nebula could die just to show how serious things are and how horrible this guy is.
All right, number 4, Loki.
Yeah, maybe.
He is going to, for sure, and so they even lay out a scenario.
I think he'll like, sort of like get, he'll sort of take the side of like, maybe I'm going to play my angle here and get on Thanos' good side and, you know, once again, betray everybody, and this time, it's not going to work out for him.
Well, it's also...
It'll also show that Thanos can kill gods, which will be helpful when Thor dies in the next movie.
Yeah, and sort of in that same vein, it'll also talk about how far Tom Hiddleston's star has fallen in the Marvel Universe because yeah. when the first Thor came out, everyone was like, oh my God, Loki's the greatest ever, and we love Loki and Tom Hiddleston, and now it's sort of like, he's kind of an afterthought, mm-hmm. unfortunately, because he was such a great character, and now it's like...
He was a pretty big part of Ragnarok.
Right, he was, and like, but the God of Mischief role is sort of kind of lame now.
It's so convenient for so much of their plotting, though, to have
right,
him like
right
he's
at
like,
the end.
He's like, how are we going to mix up this plot right here and make some events happen? Oh, how about have him with like his own, you know,
yeah,
he doesn't have to follow like a certain motive. He can just come in and fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Well, here's what they wrote. They wrote, is Loki a hero or villain in Infinity War? It's quite unclear, but here's my prediction. He teams up with Thanos, but at the sight of, say, his brother Thor almost being killed via skull crushing, has a dramatic change of heart. It's a valiant effort that's enough to stop Thanos, but he somehow dies in the process.
Yeah, that's totally
100% plausible.
Number 3 they have is Captain America. Mm-hmm. Captain America obviously going to be in hand-to-hand combat with Thanos, so it's all too...
In Wakanda, it looks like to me.
Likely that he has an opportunity to die,
I think he's probably going to die in the next one, but...
Oh, he doesn't make it out of the two-movie series.
For sure not.
Number two they have is Vision. Vision should be number one.
You hate Vision so much. No,
you literally watch him get the stone ripped out of his head.
But then, you know, in this trailer, you also see Shuri... You know, doing her science and he's like laid out on the table.
It's like doing an MRI.
I think they're trying to, like, he has all his power and life from that stone, the Mind Stone. So he really shouldn't be able to be alive without it. And maybe that's what she's trying to figure out.
They're trying to figure out how to decouple him from the stone and how to make him live without it.
Right. Oh. And so, you know, you do see him in the first trailer.
Eric's so bummed.
But by the time, if he loses all his powers and he's just a normal guy, he'll just be sort of like there to give...
He'll just be Jarvis.
To give Scarlet Witch some depth.
He'll be Jarvis.
Sure. Yeah. Anywho, enough of Vision.
And then finally they have number one, Tony Stark, Iron Man. Is their most likely character to die in this movie?
You know, I see him as the number one biggest Marvel character and actor, right? Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Him and then maybe Captain America after that?
I think he's probably their most important, but I think it's like the fans have accepted the fact that he probably isn't going to be around much longer.
Right. He's not going to make these movies forever, and they're going to make these movies forever, so he's not going to be a part of it.
He's 52 years old.
The only way it makes sense is if he dies.
He's been in it the whole time.
He's made a bajillion dollars.
He's made just a crazy amount of money.
It's time to either move on from Iron Man / Tony Stark or kill him off and let someone else take his place. I mean, there's been a lot of, I'm not going to say buddy cop stuff with Spider-Man, but it wouldn't be out of the question to have him sort of take over the role.
Stark Industries, yeah.
Of Stark Industries, not in that same capacity, not as quippy, but he's getting, Spider-Man's getting a lot of play, and he's getting a lot of those funny lines. Kind of looks, I mean, you know, Robert Downey Jr. buddied up with him in Homecoming. Mm-hmm. It's not out of the question that they're going to have Spider-Man bridge the gap between Iron Man and whatever phase 3 is for the next set.
Yeah, so they have him as their number one most likely to die. I mean, I think there's just a couple of these characters for sure.
How did they put Iron Man in front of Vision when you literally see Vision's mind gem being ripped out of his head?
Yeah, I think Vision dies, or at least loses all his powers and dies in our minds and hearts, because who gives a shit about Paul Bettany?
Yeah, that's how I feel too. All right, guys, how excited are we for this movie?
Super.
What's the scale?
Well, it's opening
Rotten Tomatoes. I mean,
we've all agreed with that.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Right. No, but you're right. It's our scale, right? Which is opening day.
So should we guess Rotten Tomatoes scores? I think it has a chance to be a little bit lower than, you know, the Black Panthers of the world, which is super duper high.
But Black Panther's in it. I'm giving it a 94.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Out of like 350 reviews. Because it's going to be super duper reviewed. I don't think it's going to come any... I would say that the floor for it is 90.
I'd say 81 is what it's going to be at, and it just doesn't matter what the score is. The score could be any number, and people are going to see it in just insane.
Not going to be 81.
No, I think it'll be higher. I would say 86 is where I think it's going to be.
There's too much coming behind it.
Yeah.
And so maybe that could
hurt. There's just no way it's under 80.
It could hurt a little bit because there's a lot of stuff that's going to be open-ended because of the fact that there's another one, but I just don't see it being less than 90 for any reason.
I just think it's like they don't need to make a masterpiece for it to break all types.
But
of
what
record.
Did Winter Soldier do?
Sure.
What did Civil War do? Like, this is going to be better. You can already tell this is going to be better. Like, the story is not going to be chaotic. The story is not going to be disjointed. You're not going to feel like you're watching Justice League. This is going to be better.
Yeah.
All right. I hope you're right. I'm really excited about it. Can't wait. We all have our tickets. We'll break it down again the week before.
To be fair, though, I'm not Jimmy Channels, so whatever he says is
86. I want it to be higher.
It might. It's going to be 86 on the nuts. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's what it's going
to
be.
All right, guys. So it's time to move on to kind of a random fun thing that we decided we're going to talk about. And that is our favorite MTV shows throughout time.
Just throwing it back to the time when, like, you got off, you know, high school, you'd go home and you'd turn it on and just see some garbage ass TV.
Or I got out of, like, history 302. Went back to my dorm room, and
this could be a little interesting how old we all were when these shows were going on, but we were all certainly watching them.
All right, guys, I'm gonna try not to miss anything important, but I'm also gonna try to skip some of the ones that probably aren't worth our time.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Eric,
when you try to do that, you tend to call some real gems.
All right, so the first thing I want to bring up is Date My Mom.
Pass.
Date My Mom.
God, these shows are horrible.
Date My Mom.
Hard pass.
Might be the worst show of all time.
Did you remember watching it?
I remember. Absolutely. I know exactly what it is. Yeah, and it was terrible.
They'd go on dates with multiple moms, and then they'd have to like do fun things. Like they'd get ice cream, and then they'd be like, "You should date my daughter because blah 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 blah."
Oh, that's right. And it was go on the dates with all the moms. It was, and then
they have to pick.
They'd pick,
and then sometimes, like the funny thing is that MTV would pick like two girls who had like really strict, mean moms who were like really good looking.
Yeah.
And then like one like super fun mom who had like a terrible looking daughter.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
God, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
That's a very good example to start with. This is a trip down memory lane.
Welcome
I
to
mean,
90s.
Stuff I haven't thought about.
Welcome to 90s MTV.
Yeah.
Because that's where we're at.
And this is early 2000s. Yeah, I mean.
So the next one is Laguna Beach, the real Orange County.
Amazing.
Did you guys watch this?
I watched quite a bit.
Yeah. Captivating, incredible. That was like the first time where you're like, wow, I'm really attracted to reality TV stars.
Yeah.
Between,
I mean, this is
Kristen and Lauren and
Kristen, Elsie.
Not Kardashians.
No, it's pre-Kardashians. Pre,
yeah.
Lauren, I mean, Lauren is still...
Lauren Conrad, crushing in the fashion industry.
What's her name?
Kristen Calabari.
She's married to Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
It worked out well for them.
Yeah, they're doing just fine.
Yeah, so this to me was like the first MTV...
This is fucked up. Who was like the real cool guy?
Steven.
No, not even Steven. The Steven was cool, okay, but this was a guy that like rode up on a motorcycle and came out of nowhere, and I think the producers just found him and hired him. Like nobody knew him. He like had a motorcycle. He had a long hair.
Spencer?
Nah, dude, you're thinking of The Hills.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, that's. We'll have to get there later.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Actually,
one.
Let's just get there right now. The Hills. So The Hills. You're thinking of Justin Bobby.
Justin. Even the name is funny.
Is that who they...
Justin Bobby.
Modeled...
He wore hats just like Barter.
Is that
but he invented the slouchy beanie. Yeah. He made that cool.
Yeah.
Is that who they modeled the new guy in Stranger Things after? Like just guy that rode up like with the long hair?
Yeah, maybe, Justin but Bobby. Justin jeans. Bobby didn't try at all.
No, Justin Bobby was like a hair... He like did hair.
Okay.
He like... That was his job.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But he also had a profession of... pretending he didn't give a fuck. Like,
right.
That was really his job.
Yeah.
Was like just like being really good looking and like just who knows where the wind will take me.
Dark and mysterious. And
yeah. Yeah, it was really bad.
JB.
Yeah, he was the best character though.
So what was better, Laguna Beach or The Hills? I didn't, you know,
I didn't watch The Hills.
I probably watched 30% of The Hills and 100% of Laguna Beach.
So Laguna Beach was the original. It was better. Okay.
The Hills was the spinoff that like didn't work as well.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Okay. Next up is Maid.
Oh, yes.
Everyone watched Maid. Now, if you don't remember what Maid was, it was they would
Maid
take a kid and then they'd be
some
like,
poor
Oh, I'm like, no one knows me at school, but I want to be a football player.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, here's a former college football player that you've never heard of, and he's going to be your Maid coach.
Yeah.
And he's going to try to make
I need
you
at 6 a.m. here, bright and early, and we're going to do, you know, crunches.
It was always people working out in the early morning.
It always was. And they'd throw up and it would be great. And then they would get made and
you never believed
it.
It
was always
pretty
lackluster.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
The next one, this is a little more recent, so this is probably in your adult life. But Jersey Shore.
Oh, I watched a lot of Jersey
Shore.
Oh,
The Situation, baby.
Oh, I watched almost all that. They're having a reunion.
Are you into the reunion at all?
Is it a whole series? I won't watch it. I just know I won't watch any of this shit.
But the Jersey Shore was hot. I mean, it was entertaining for all the reasons that you thought the real world was entertaining, except it was all of the drama of the real world just perpetuated 100 times.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
It was just straight trash.
Train wreck TV.
Yeah, it was good. You know, I like the Jersey Shore. The Situation is garbage. I liked the DJ kid.
They had a character named Snooki.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more trashy can you get and they're still living off of this.
Right.
Like these people are still making like appearances and making money. And people are like, we got Snooki from the Jersey Shore.
At the club.
She's got three kids and weighs 265 now, but give it up for Snooki. And then everyone's like, yeah. Snooki, come on down. Love it.
So you guys are not excited about the reunion?
No.
No, we don't care.
Okay. Next up is the show Next.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking of. It's on like the bus.
Yes.
And then they would come off the bus and they'd be like, she's 26. She loves cross stitch and she once blew a seal. Like what? The quotes they would give about the people were absolutely ludicrous. Like and, he for sure made that shit up. And like the three facts.
What was also crazy about it was that people would walk off the bus and then they would get nexted before they could even say a word.
I know. And then they'd like inevitably flip off the guy and walk off. And then they'd get one line being like, he was a piece of shit anyways.
He was ugly anyways. He was too short.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then next. Yeah.
It was like virtual Tinder.
God.
Like, yes. It's just like swipe right.
Dude,
swipe
I guarantee left, you the out. Inventor of Tinder was watching that like, I can
you know
do
what?
This.
Let's do a web app about yeah. that because that's easy.
Dude, next. Oh, straight up trash. Always on. I was watching that at way too young of an age.
It's the cash cab of MTV.
All right, I'm gonna butcher this one, okay? This one was on from 2006 to 2010. I don't really remember that show. Or... Oh, okay. Okay,
what's the title?
The show was called Parental Control.
Yes!
Oh. And parental control, what it was the parent was unhappy with their current boyfriend or girlfriend, so that person would have to come over to their house and watch them go on dates with handpicked people.
Yeah, that the parents like really were like, you should go with this one, and then the oh god.
So and I'm gonna say one thing. This was a time in my life I didn't have enough money to afford cable, and thank God I didn't. I'm glad I did not have to watch
this one
show.
Was really bad. It was always like a really snotty like girl or guy, and then at the end it would be the big reveal.
Are they going to stay with their current boyfriend?
Stay
or
with
girlfriend?
The current boyfriend and piss off the parents, or go with one of these new guys or girls? And it was, they'd always stay with
can
them.
We get to a non like dating show?
No, this was most of it. This is no, the majority is of MTV. The shit. This is their bread and butter.
So MTV's next show that I'm going to bring up is called Room Raiders.
Oh, yeah. Room Raiders, dude.
This is the one with the special gloves and the tongs and like the UV lights.
So let's give everyone a little backdrop. This was like girls or guys, right? And
they get pulled out of bed.
They get pulled out of bed.
Thrown in a van.
And they got to watch on video as a girl or a guy that they're potentially going to date is going to go through their room. Hashtag like Room Raiders.
Yep.
And then you had to watch the person go through their room and go through all their stuff and their personal belongings while the other person watched in the van, like the FBI van.
Yeah, everybody's disgusting. Everybody has ridiculous stuff. They'd be like,
they found
I don't
the socks
like this
under the
person's
bed.
Room because they like, they're clearly way too into Pokemon. What a loser, you know.
Right.
Pretty classic stuff, really.
Yeah, this guy has way too many pictures of Carmen Electra in his room. I'm not into it at all. Yeah.
That was a, man, I probably watched, you know, 40 episodes of that show.
Cringy as all
hell. If I
could
only have some of this time back.
All right, guys, next up is a more recent show. It was on from 2011 to 2016. It was called Awkward. Did you guys watch it at all?
No.
No, but I heard it's actually pretty well regarded.
It was very good. It was a very good, like, fictional show on MTV.
Okay.
Next up is MTV Cribs. Everyone watched that?
Oh, hell yeah. This is where the magic happens.
Cribs was incredible.
Cribs was fantastic.
That was where
did
I learned.
Did you ever see the Jackass Cribs?
I learned from Old Dirty Bastard that the way to keep your drawers clean was to get some wet wipes for your bathroom.
Oh, really?
It's a big deal. He was the only one to ever talk about that, okay. And I really appreciated him
and
for
so
saying
you,
that.
And so you went with that, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to get you a bidet.
And
it might help.
But the other thing about that was you got to see people who are, you know, it's like, oh, you know, Shaquille O'Neal makes a lot of money. And then you see his house, you're like, holy fuck. That
he
guy
makes
a lot of money.
He has like the most giant Superman bed. Remember that shit?
Yeah, so what was your most memorable Cribs?
Probably Red Man.
Yes!
Because he had the fucking...
That's what I was going to say!
Really?
Yes! Really?
He had the shittiest, like, townhome. It wasn't even like a house.
It was terrible. And he said that he could only write music if he lived in like a place like that.
They knocked on the door and he opened it and he was like, y'all come on in. He's like, I would have had you ring the doorbell, but the doorbell is broken. And he like grabbed two wires and like ran them together and was like, shit doesn't work. And then like, come on in. And it was like a 2-bedroom townhouse with neighbor like walls and the kitchen and he was filthy.
Making popular movies.
He
at
was
the time.
In movies. He was making solo music. He was on everyone's stuff. He was in Wu-Tang Clan, and he lived in like the worst place ever. He had a box of money, like a like a shoebox of money.
I think also, they all have shoebox.
Guys,
of
I got
to
tell you, the other day I was talking about Soundset this year.
Okay, so which Soundset is really enticing, by the way.
Is actually, a really cool independent hip hop, you know.
It's
concert.
Mostly for 14-year-olds on Molly that go and fight each other, but I might still try to be there as a 32-year-old.
But this year it's
man.
Got Wu-Tang Clan, it's got Logic, it has Migos, it has Atmosphere, it has all kinds of good acts, right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
dude, Logic, Bobby Tarantino, too.
So I was telling
big on it. You're big on it. I like that.
I was telling my students about it in class the other day, and I was like, yeah, it's so crazy. All these people are going to be there, and they all knew, like, Jaden Smith, and they all knew Migos, but they didn't know who.
I can't live it.
They didn't know.
I can't live it. Woo!
They didn't know Atmosphere. They didn't know Lauryn Hill. They didn't know Wu-Tang Clan. And so finally, I was like,
nobody
was
in the room.
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Yeah. So I was like going through. I was like, what? I'm like, you guys like all this hip hop music, but you don't know Wu-Tang. I was
like Mr. Burtness, you're just really old.
I was like, ODB, RZA, Method Man, Redman, all these people. And then this girl was like, Method Man. I'm pretty sure he's my cousin. I was like, no, he's not.
He's like 50.
And she's like, can I call him my dad right now? I was like, if you can prove he's your cousin, then yeah, you can. Yeah. And she did.
And
It was actually, she had a picture with him and everything. She didn't even know he was in
Wu-Tang.
That
he was like a super famous person?
Yeah. She was like, I knew he like
he's
made
like
music.
The most famous one.
By
Redman.
Far.
Method Man's way more famous than Redman.
All right, guys. So
are we back to MTV?
We're back. Next one.
My favorite one was the Jackass one. Just go YouTube it. It's hilarious. They were living in an absolute shithole with during the walkthrough, they like were, you know, getting hit in the face with shit. They were skateboarding inside their tiny apartment. It was like before
the
any of them made
they
any
were
money.
Do that. The other thing is, this was like the precursor to like HGTV celebrity magazine setups. So most of them weren't like Redman or Jackass.
Right. They
it
were
was
amazing.
Like pristine. All the designers had gone
but
through
the,
previously
it's funny
and
the,
set
the,
it up.
All
yeah.
our memorable ones are
were
like
the shitty
shit houses.
Ones.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Next up is Robin Big.
Oh, amazing.
Really, really good. And Fantasy Factory as well.
Sadly.
So good. And that's like on towards the newer end. That's like one of the last shows I probably watched on MTV.
Dude, the Man Pond. From Big, like I'm sad that their relationship like degenerated to the
point.
Well,
they got
where
back to together, and then didn't is he dead?
I think he passed away. Died. Yeah, but like, it was a whole thing of like contractual stuff and money. But like their chemistry seemed as written as the show was because it had to be right. It's a reality TV show, but their chemistry seemed genuine. They really seemed to enjoy each other. They played off each other really well. All of their ideas, quote unquote, were like really funny.
Crazy.
Fun. It was lighthearted. It was better
Deirdre
than...
is so small and Rob or Big was so big.
Yeah.
It was just perfect.
Like they're like, we're going to go get a llama for the backyard.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to the fucking llama farm. And they skateboarded to a llama farm with the bulldog on a skateboard. And it was great. Like everything was entertaining. You know, and Rob's, I mean, he's a self-made guy, right? I mean, he did the DC shoes
and
stuff.
You can feel good about supporting him, as far as I know.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
That was
a great
show. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Is this top shows? Where are you getting this list? This list is excellent.
Ranker.com. Next up, True Life.
Ah, too deep. I've watched a lot of it. True Life, I'm a hoarder, I'm a cutter, I'm a piece of shit.
It was like Intervention in the sense of...
With no help.
Right. It was in the sense of...
But purely exploitive.
Watch this person... Fuck their life up.
They're like, I like to eat
with
drywall.
No help.
And MTV is like, we're in a construction site with drywall everywhere. Like, I mean, they were just
let's bring them to a drywall factory. Yeah. Let them lose.
Yeah, and
bring the cameras.
After a certain amount of time, you're like, I feel kind of dirty watching this, so I need to turn it off and watch like Friends to make myself happy again.
Yeah,
like that type of situation.
All right, next up is Viva La Bam.
Amazing.
Yeah, great.
That was a great show. That was such a fun
show. Was that how he like got famous?
No, he was famous on Jackass.
Yes. Well, he was Can't Kill Yourself first or whatever.
And he was part of CKY.
Yeah.
And he was part of...
That's what that was?
He was LinkedIn with
CKY was that?
Can't Kill Yourself.
So CKY2K, like...
Yeah. And then he was part... Like his brother was like in him or something. Or his brother was in some band and him was their best friends. And
okay.
Then he became all famous. He was on Jackass. And then he had Viva La Bam when he was really famous. And then he like... probably like destroy his life.
Oh, no, he is. He's
that
like
whole group is in trouble.
There's actually a YouTube documentary. It's the worst named YouTube documentary possible. Epically Latered.
Yeah.
And it's about Bam Margera now. I mean, this was all filmed like within the last year, and it's in like
he's like starting to skate again and feeling good, but then he's got like clean. A T-dub since then.
Yeah.
Like he's like, not in good shape.
Yeah. And it's like interviewing his parents. You're still like, yeah, no, Bam's like still doing really well. And they're like, you're in
like
complete
he
fucking
now
denial.
Looks just like Phil. The circle is complete. Yeah. He looks just like Phil.
He's so
he
overweight.
He was so mean to Phil. That was the only thing I couldn't get over. Too mean to Phil. All
right, guys. And this one's rated way too lowly. It should be first. It should be the number one show on the list. TRL.
Yeah, it was always pretty shit.
It was a bad show, but it was so important.
It was such a cultural phenomenon.
It was
like,
was
you
so
get home
critical.
From school, you had about 15 minutes to make a Pop-Tart, and then you turned it on, and everybody watched it.
You turned it on, and everyone... it's funny.
How long did your Pop-Tarts take to
after,
make?
After,
well,
like,
you know,
15 minutes?
I have had so many conversations with students where I was like, yeah, so there was this show, and everyone from, like, sixth grade through, like... college would like hurry home to be home for the show where this guy interviewed current musicians and celebrities and then just played parts of the top 10 music videos of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, everyone
and it was in Times Square.
Everyone watched it.
Every single day there was a giant crowd in Times Square to watch the show.
It was so critical. It was so big. It was like the biggest.
It was essential, as we like to use on the show.
Carson Daly was larger than life.
I can't believe that's not number one. I mean, that is the biggest. I mean, I guess Real World will probably be number one. But
that was the thing that was bigger than Kimmel. Well, not even at the time. That was bigger than Letterman. That was bigger than Leno. If you were on as the number one.
And it was a live,
TRL.
Truly a live show. So we saw some real crazy shit. I mean, we saw Eminem get in trouble. We saw... You know, I think it was Christina Aguilera have a total
kind
mental
of breakdown.
Break. Mariah Carey had a mental break on the show. I mean, there was some real wild stuff. Like, you know, Dunst or wait, not who's Limp Bizkit guy?
Oh, Fred Durst.
Fred Durst got in trouble on the show. I mean, it was
really.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean,
it was wild. It was must watch, and I just don't even think like I think it's something that most of our listeners probably. You know, lived through, but I don't think anybody younger than us even understands that this was a thing or that it was possible or
so
why.
Big. YouTube didn't exist. Spotify didn't exist. iTunes didn't exist. The only way you got the newest, hottest music was MTV, VH1, or maybe some other platform.
And
that
this is
the
when they truly were selling an unbelievable amount of music.
Of CDs.
And now, you know, people stream a lot and you're not really, the music industry isn't what it was. For a lot of different reasons. But at this point, like, people were just buying albums, buying CDs like crazy.
And you went on this. You went on this to promote your album. If you made it to number one, that was like instantaneous,
like you're
cash influx.
Rich.
We're going to skip over Ridiculousness, which I'm sure everybody has watched before.
Yeah, it's only okay.
Have you ever watched Singled Out?
Oh, yeah. That was with Carmen Electra, Jenny McCarthy.
It's a classic.
That was great.
Next up is Pimp My Ride. With Exhibit. That was a terrible show.
Exhibit.
That
was good.
They'd go to someone and they'd be like, this person like is just a normal person. And they just would like a cool car. And they're like, cool, let's make their car
they'd
cool.
They'd be like, oh, he has a fish tank in his room. Let's make a fish-themed car. And the person would be like, dude, I only sort of like fish and I already have a fish tank in my house. I don't want this car anymore.
They'd be like, let's ask his friends what he likes to do. Well, he likes video games. He golfs sometimes. Whoa, what if we made an entire car for golf clubs?
Yeah.
Oh, on the side of the car is a golf ball washer. And they'd be like, shit, how are you going to sell this car?
Yeah.
It was entertaining from, like, you could have skipped the first 28 minutes of the show.
Was that West Coast Customs or something? Who pinned all the rides?
Yeah, and then you could just watch the last 2 minutes.
Mm. All right, guys, here's
pretty skippable.
The final few, Real World coming in.
absolutely, you know, game changing reality TV wise.
Probably super, one of the most important legendary shows in the history of television.
Probably did everybody a big disservice overall. Like, not a positive influence, but an influence big time.
Next up, The Osbournes, which was a huge phenomenon for a very short time.
I mean, talk about taking, you know, a celebrity and creating reality TV.
And putting their massive drug addiction on television.
Full display.
Like, with Shane! Them and their kids.
Next up is... Like,
fuck off, man. Where's the car, Sean?
Here's your top five, okay? Number five, Punk'd. Ashton Kutcher. Short-lived.
Yeah, it was a couple of years, 3 years?
Maybe 2 years, 3 years, but it was like...
But people still say, are you punking me?
Yeah, it was a big deal for about 2 years.
It was really good. Ashton Kutcher was a little bit over the top for me, like, after a while. Like,
he made trucker hats look really good.
We're going to go after Eric Estrada.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right. You know what I mean? Bad. And then it was like, oh, they caught him in a restaurant and they moved his car and he's pissed. Yeah. You know, like, okay. But, like, some of the ones, like Dax Shepard, like teaming up with Tom Arnold and the assistant and stuff like that. Like, some of the ones where it was...
The creative ones were pretty good.
Like, the first one, obviously, with Justin Timberlake was out of control when he's, like, crying on the porch of his house because they ripped the guitar strings out of his, like... It's not a real one, yeah, but, like, out of his, like, vintage guitar or whatever. And he's, like, tearing up. Like, all of those are very memorable.
Don't recall that.
That was the first one they did.
I mean, I think they were even punking Bieber, weren't they? Like, did it go that long or not?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe. But, you know, some of the more memorable, like, they also got kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Where they're like, we had to punch holes in your window of your car because you parked illegally and we had to have a fire hose go through it. And they're like, okay, well, did the fire get put out? But, you know, and it was like, oh, I guess that's the end of the bit, you know, like
wow, they don't really give care a shit about really the car. Respected, yeah, that they needed to do that.
Yeah. Right? Sorry about that. Yeah. Hope everyone's okay. You know, like, some of them kind of missed and they, like, really tried to create a bunch of stuff out,
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, they
create,
know, the drama.
Dax Shepard kind of got a career out of it. So it was an iconic show.
Next, yeah, up is Celebrity Deathmatch, which was fantastic. Some of the episodes were terrible.
Yeah. But it was creative. It was fun. I wasn't a huge fan.
I thought it was fun. It was exciting.
Claymation.
They did a great job with Claymation. I don't know. It was fun. It was pretty mindless television.
It was very mindless.
Number three, Daria.
Boring.
Not for me. But I get that it's a big cultural hit.
Couldn't care less.
Number two, Jackass.
Of course. Massive.
Do you remember when Jackass came out and then everyone was trying to make their own Jackass movies?
Oh, yeah. Oh, people got injured.
But not only that, like, the precursor to that was, like, Tom Green in a way, which...
Where is he on there?
But
come
it wasn't,
on.
It wasn't
Tom
as...
Tom Green? I guarantee he's not number one.
I don't know, God, if he was on MTV. But he was, really? On regardless, oh, like, shit. I don't mean Jackass and, like, we're going to jump off the sixth story of a whatever. Like, Tom Green was, like, grabbing the, you know, over, like, Target speaker microphone, yeah, and, like, saying, you know, tampons on aisle 7, like, that's what everyone started, like, wanting to do, of, like, videotaping themselves,
just public embarrassment,
yeah, just like that kind of stupid stuff. Like, Jackass took that to, like, a completely different level with all the physical stuff.
Yes.
But Jackass
just great. I mean, incredible. Those movies are still absolutely worth a watch.
The, yeah, opening,
they're
scene,
still so entertaining.
The opening scene for the first Jackass movie where they're in the cart and they've got the and it's like they got cannons blowing, mm-hmm, at them and stuff in the huge cart. It's awesome.
Just like,
so good.
Anyone listening right now that's at a computer, just Google, like, the giant hand bit that they did, where they literally had Ryan one. Dunn come through, like, they got him to bring soup.
A tray of soup,
and the tray broke in half. It was a big ass thick plastic tray that broke in half. That's how hard he got hit.
First of all, rest in peace, Ryan Dunn. But the fact, right, that they were,
he,
like,
died like he lived with car,
they
in
were
his
like,
house.
Dude, can you get us?
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry, dude, to repeat that. But it's not too soon.
Can you, like, the fact that Ryan Dunn, they were like, hey, can you get us, like, two chicken noodles and a lobster bisque down the road? And he's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, like, yeah, he didn't even think anything about it. Like, hey, I'm working with the Jackass guys. Like, I should probably think about whether the fact I should get
and
some
hot
soup.
And it was one where he was laughing just as hard, yeah, which I love. Oh, God, that was good.
All right, guys, the
Jackass
last one
number two
is Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, I mean, legendary, one of the first shows they had, right? Because they just played music videos right away.
Yep.
And then they came up with, you know, it launched Mike Judd.
Which, thank goodness.
Huge, yeah.
I'm glad that, dude, that Mike Judd
got... Silicon Valley. I mean, he's still doing it.
Silicon Valley, Office Space, King of the Hill, whether you like it or not.
I'm not a fan of that one, but I loved Idiocracy. I mean, you know, the guy makes some great stuff.
King of the Hill was on TV for like 12 seasons.
Oh, it was still always syndicated. So bad.
Propane accessories.
So bad.
Dude, there's been so many impressions by Barter today.
I know. I love it.
All right, guys.
So that was so propane. Epic. God, Birds they had some clean. Great, great stuff. And really bad stuff, too.
Yeah, we just went down memory lane. I'd say the worst is Date My Mom.
Yep.
And Room Raiders for me. I didn't really watch a lot of Date My Mom, but Room Raiders for me was the most cringeworthy, awkward, I can't even believe I'm watching
this. I mean, they had these shows figured out because they had this thing where... It would really be interesting right away because they'd have the setup. And then it would be really boring, but you'd end up watching it because you'd really want to find out what they picked.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, I'm stuck here.
All right, guys. I think today we need to go through at least the first round of the Sudsy 16.
Yeah, so we'll switch over, totally switching gears to local craft beer, which we obviously love.
We'll go through the first round today. I think all the voting has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go through the next round next week. But first off, a couple that we thought were complete and total snubs.
Mm-hmm.
First up, our number one brewery of 2017.
Had the biggest year, we thought.
Modest, huge year. Didn't make the list. There's a couple that don't deserve to be on there. Had a Modest.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty insane to me that they didn't make
Modest
it.
Yeah, Modest is just, talk about having a moment. Modest is killing it. You know, Utapils didn't make it. I'm okay with that. They're pretty new. They're doing pretty standard stuff. Able, we love Able, friends of the pod. You know, they have one of the best spaces, but they really don't make like a lot of crazy releases or anything.
Prize
so, like,
didn't make
not,
it.
Prize, they, yeah, they're you know they're new.
They're probably too new to be
Head
on
Flyer.
There.
There's a ton of breweries. I mean, there's just so many. Overall, I think it's a good list.
Well, and I think if you look at the Star Tribune and the way that they do it, it tends to lean towards breweries that have a massive social media presence.
Sure.
And I think the only one of the ones that you listed that were snubbed that probably should have done better would be Modest.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's the biggest snub for me.
Right. Like maybe Praia's, like they probably don't have as many followers as some of the other places. And maybe they didn't even know that this was a thing that was going on, that they should like reach out to their followers and make a massive campaign to get themselves into this. Maybe they like retweeted something like, hey, go vote for us. And then that was kind of it. And then the next picture was like, next up in our guest kitchen is, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think the Modest one, I think, is a huge snub. And some of the reporters like Amelia Reno, I think, is the one that sort of has had this for the Star Tribune. Is like, I didn't pick these. This is voted on by the public and this is voted on by, you know, social media, whatever.
And they really got the biggest
they got ones. Most of the ones
but I mean for like Junkyard to sneak in there, I mean they're absolutely killing it, but it is interesting to see them in over Modest.
I literally went there and they didn't know what a podcast was.
Yeah,
so I don't know how they have a social media team.
They have a fantastic social media page.
All right, guys, so let's go through the first round. First matchup, number one overall seed Surly versus number 16 seed Bad Weather. Who you guys taking?
I mean, Surly all day. Bad Weather.
It has to be Surly.
Man, just not.
Bad Weather has a great tap room.
Great tap room.
One of the best.
I've never been there.
Great
tap room. Oh, you haven't? Oh, it's really good.
Huge party room. Awesome, awesome.
They got the big garage doors to open up the bar area right to the outside.
St. Paul, though.
Yeah, in St. Paul.
That's for me. See, that's the problem.
They have arcade games. It's a great place.
I feel like part of it is that they also wanted to just reach out a little bit into different areas, and so they chose Junkyard. They chose
possible.
A couple other ones that are, you know, in St. Paul and didn't want everything to be in Northeast.
All right, guys, next up, number 5 seed Summit, 12 seed Fair State.
I take Fair State
all day.
We're huge fans of Fair State.
A lot of times there is 12 upset in the tournament, so I don't think Fair State is a big reach.
Fair State, easy. Friends of the pod.
But
we love Fair State.
But this is a social media like voting thing. Summit's got more.
Yeah. So.
And they're trying to set up that really, they did this. Just so they could set up a Summit Surly matchup.
Cool. Yeah.
Next up, number 4, Shells. I'm shaking my
Shells
head.
Won last year. Who and are so they I just sort of against? Doused.
And number 13, Junkyard. I'm going Junkyard all day.
I take Junkyard.
Based on beer, Junkyard all day.
Yeah.
And then they'll meet the winner of number 8 seed Fulton and number 9 seed Liftbridge.
I take Fulton.
Oh, Fulton.
Not a fan of Liftbridge. Never had them on the pod. Not friends of the pod. I mean, not because they're assholes. We've never reached out to them. I just don't like what they do.
They don't
have a lot of interesting stuff.
For people that say that we only pimp everybody and we're just too nice, we're getting real.
Next up, number 2 seed. That's right. Number 2 seed, Castle Danger versus number 15, Steel Toe.
I take Castle Danger. Everything they make is fantastic. Their branding is horrible. They make and sell a lot more beer than people realize. They have a fantastic cream ale. I think 2 seed is way too high a ranking for them.
For sure. If they were a 6, sure, I'd be all six. In. Mm-hmm. But a 2 8, is whatever. A complete reach. I also think, on the other end of that, I don't think Steel Toe is a 15.
Yeah, they could be up a little higher.
I think they should be a little bit higher.
You know, they're still like... They're sort of really well known for their IPA. Fantastic IPA. Don't hear much else from them, though.
They don't make a whole lot else. Yeah.
Next up, Dangerous Man, the 6 seed versus 11 seed Insight. Two friends.
Both friends of the pod.
Yeah,
we hate to see these two go against each other.
I do, like, but it's got to be Dangerous Man. In fact, I think Dangerous Man needs to be a higher seed.
They should not be a 6 seed.
So. Dangerous Man, yeah, they're the people no one wants to see.
It's just tough for them, and I get why they could be lower seeded because there's not cans everywhere for everyone to try. I'm sure. Out of this list, most of these are available in liquor stores throughout the state.
Well, and then
Dangerous Man is not. You have to go there.
Indeed is ranked kind of low too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, the next two are really tough ones. Lots of really quality breweries. 3 seed Bent Paddle versus 14 seed Bauhaus. One of the toughest matchups of the entire tournament.
I mean,
it's really tough.
We love Bauhaus. I think
space.
Yeah, I think it's Bent Paddle.
Yeah, I would take Bent Paddle.
We're gonna go beer alone.
Honestly, we love Bauhaus. I mean, I don't want to say it again, but I have to. They are friends of the pod. We're gonna have a live event there soon. But I just think that's a very, very tough matchup for them. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You got matched up against Bent Paddle, which consistently makes amazing beer. They have they're holding down Duluth on their own as a very cool beer spot. So,
but I like the Bauhaus jersey a lot.
I know. And that's a whole other angle that they made all this amazing graphic art for it. Everybody got their own custom design jersey. Kind of like the Bauhaus
jersey more than any of them.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd get the Dangerous Man jersey.
You know, that jersey company you reached out to on Twitter wants to make it with us. They wrote back. Didn't you see that?
No.
They're like, I'm very interested in this. So we could get involved if you want.
Okay, let's do that.
We'll talk later.
Finally, Indeed, the 7 seed against number 10 seed Upstart Barrel Theory. Who are you guys taking?
I've never had Barrel Theory. Never even tried a Barrel Theory beer. I've just heard incredible things.
I'm going Barrel Theory. I've tried them 2 times. Amazing. Barrel Theory is
gonna. Who are they going against?
Indeed.
Fuck. I'll go Indeed. Never had Barrel Theory.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Indeed.
Indeed is so well established. They are Northeast through and through.
You could put their Wooden Soul series of a lot of their beers against anything in that bracket, mm-hmm. and you'd have some very tough competition.
Yeah. Well, this will be interesting. So on Tuesday, they are releasing the results, and voting opens again for the. Oh, God. It's something 8. They have a cool name for it. Ale 8. Elite. Ale Elite. Okay? 8? Ale
Everyone follow A-L-E. That? Ale Elite 8.
Okay. It's catchy. I like it.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's push Unreal. They want to make jerseys. Maybe Nordy's podcast, Unreal and Breweries, make some sick jerseys for everyone to buy this summer. Yeah. And then also, get your votes out. Let's figure out who is going to win this entire competition. Go out there on Star Tribune. Pick your favorite jerseys, pick your favorite breweries, and let's really figure out who everyone here in the Twin Cities thinks, I'm sorry, everyone here in Minnesota thinks is the finest brewery in the land. But that's really all the time we have this week on the Northeast Podcast. Thanks so much for listening to us nerd out about a couple of our favorite things, the Avengers, MTV shows, and local beer.
It's so fun.
We'll be back with you guys next week in the Northeast Podcast.